That is exciting to me to think about. God is making all things new. Anybody out there ready for that to happen? God is making all things new. Can you say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Would you turn to somebody close by and say, God is making all things new? Do it right now. Remind each other of the truth of life right this moment. Well, good morning. My name is Shad Wickstrom. I'm the lead pastor here at Pursuit Church. If you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here this morning. We welcome you. Everybody watching online, we want to just say hi to you right now. We know that many people are watching online in this season, but we want you to know we're spread out here. We've got plenty of room. We'd love to see you and meet you in person. You are welcome here, but we understand you feel safer maybe at home for a season, but things are looking brighter. 2021 is on the horizon. Can we get an amen for that one? Yes. Man, the new year's here, you guys. This week, the new year begins. We will burn 2020 up in smoke, right? It's time. I think we should do that. We should schedule a bonfire. Everything that reminds you of 2020, maybe throw it in there. There's something very cathartic about letting go of something that has been weird, strange, painful, all the above, right? There's something beautiful in it, though, too. And if you think about it, this is either going to be what you consider the best year of your life or maybe the worst year of your life. There's probably not going to be a whole lot of in-between. But before you judge it as the worst year ever on planet Earth, give yourself some time and space to think about it. Because in the brokenness and the hardship is where God often does his greatest work. So hold on to the judgment of what 2020 was until maybe a few months after you've been able to look back and see what God is doing. But today we start a three-week series entitled Re-Image. Re-Image. How we start fresh with Christ in the new year. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that, thinking about it. And then for those of you who've been waiting, we are going to jump back into Daniel and look at the future things too. Are we in the end times? That's coming. So hang tight. But I felt like it was really important for us to think about the opportunity in the new year to start fresh. That's one thing that the new year provides for us, is an opportunity to begin something new that wasn't before. So I want to capitalize on that for us this year. So stay tuned for the next 3 weeks, especially as we think about what starting fresh with Christ looks like in the new year. I want to share a story with you as we begin to think about what we're going to talk about today. It's a story of a sculptor who had been given a vision of something amazing. But it began with a huge piece of beautiful, expensive Carrara marble being ruined. It was absolutely ruined, and it was left in the courtyard of a cathedral in Florence, Italy. It's a true story. Yes, that's right. It was there for almost 100 years. Artisans thought that it was absolutely beyond repair, but in 1505, a young sculptor by the name of Michelangelo was asked if he thought anything could be done with what they called the giant. So he measured the block and he carefully noted all the imperfections that it had. And then he sat by himself envisioning what it could possibly be. And to his mind came the image of a young shepherd boy named David. And so he carefully made the sketch of this young shepherd boy that he had envisioned in his mind, of that biblical character. And for 3 years he worked steadily in his chisel, skillfully crafting and shaping the image that he had seen in his mind's eye. Finally, when one of his students was allowed to view this towering figure, which was 18 feet high, mind you, envision 18 feet high, and almost 9 tons, his student exclaimed this, "Master, it lacks only one thing, and that is speech." Friends, beginning again often is the product of having vision to see the future. to see beyond what is ordinary and into the extraordinary. It's taking a moment to step back in life and envision a future of something that you want to possess. God has given humankind the ability to do this. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of people and nations who, with a perspective on what was, what the reality was, were able to envision what could be. They looked clearly at what was, but they envisioned what could be. And they gave it thought. Sometimes we just need to be conditioned by hardship in order to be ready and able to appreciate a fresh start. A number of years ago, I came to a moment in my own life where I felt like this was really important for me. I'd been a pastor and a leader for probably over a decade in my life, and I was really struggling. I was feeling kind of burned out, and I was seeing aspects in my own life and in my own character that I didn't like. And I had kind of given up on learning more about leadership, and I came across this invitation to go to what was called a leadership workshop in California, conducted by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. They're both Christians, but they come from the world of psychology, and they said, you know what, we see with leaders that there's an abundance of skill, understanding of skills of leadership, like vision casting and interpersonal communication. There's plenty of skill, and there's plenty of knowledge out there, knowledge base of what it means to be a leader, but they had seen a big vacuum when it comes to dealing with character. And there was something attractive about that to me. So I decided to sign up for it. I went out to this thing, and it completely rocked my world. I was not expecting what I was going to encounter there. But in one of the particular groups, I remember this very gifted facilitator looking at me and asking me a question after I had just shared why I came to this workshop. I had come because I was seeing areas in my life where I was dealing with anger. And I didn't like the way that it was coming out in my relationship with Julie and with my kids. It was frustrating me. And I wanted to grow past it. I wanted to understand it. And she looked at me and she asked me this question. She said, "Shad, do you remember the first time you felt anger in your life?" Immediately, this memory flooded my mind. I remember encountering someone who had done something really wrong to me, and I remember feeling rage. And I just wanted to lash out, and I did, to this individual. And she then asked me, she said, "Shad, do you remember ever forgiving that person for what they did to you?" And I hadn't. And so from the time when I was a 10 or 11-year-old boy was when that happened, until as a 40-something-year-old man, I had carried this pain of unforgiveness for the situation. And I remember just breaking down and being flooded with emotion and forgiving this individual. Since that moment in time, I have been freed from anger, my friends. Now, I'm not perfect by any means. Julie can tell you that. I still have my moments that I get upset. But the anger that had consumed me that was beyond what normal frustrations in relationship are was gone, and it has not returned. My friends, that's how powerful it is when we give God the opportunity to re-image our lives and we open up about things that are broken in us. I had to be willing to allow God to show me some difficult things so I could grow and move forward in life. So let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been frustrated with your computer? Would you raise your hand? I see a unanimous agreement here across the room. As much as technology has been wonderful, it is so frustrating. And if I ever struggle with anger, it's right here with computers, I'm telling you. But a number of years ago, Julie and I were fighting different battles with our computers, and we were particularly having problems with her hard drive. And someone had suggested that we needed to re-image her hard drive. We needed to re-image it. I thought, well, that's interesting. What is that? So I looked it up. Re-imaging, listen to this, is the process of removing all the software on a computer and reinstalling everything. A re-image is necessary if your operating system becomes damaged or corrupted. You may need to re-image your system if it's plagued with spyware problems. Anybody have problems with that spyware? Sometimes if your PC has a virus, the only cure, listen to this, the only cure for your computer is to re-image it. That sounds like something we all need, especially when it comes to thinking about the New Year resolutions. It's time for us to reimage, to get back to the way we were created. We all need to be reminded of this. If we've been walking with Jesus all our lives, or we're brand new, or we're still considering it, you need to be reimaged if you're going to live the way God created you to live. Genesis 1:27 says this: God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The main idea of the message is this morning: be willing to re-image your life so you can make the most of the opportunities before you. My friends, 2021 has a store full of opportunities for those who are willing to position themselves and live the way God has created you to live. You have a great opportunity before you. And if you want to make the most of 2021, you will need to allow God to continue to reimage you in the way he created you to live. Let's pray as now we dig into the Bible together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to consider reimaging in our lives. God, we know without you we can do nothing. We are not able to do any of these things that you've called us to do, to live in relationship, to live with others, to do a job that you've called and created us to do, to be the people you want us to be, to live in the design you've created us to live. So we need you desperately, Lord. I pray this morning as we consider this that you will awaken our hearts and our minds to your truth, and we would be transformed as we renew and reimage our minds around your design for life. God, I pray you would speak through me your words this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, you can go to your YouVersion Bible app. It will be there as well. The notes for the message, all the things that we'll be looking at, the points and the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would stand with me as we read God's word together this morning. Beginning in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, again in the YouVersion, it's really easy. You just go up to the left-hand corner and you click on that drop-down and it takes you through the books of the Bible. You can find Ephesians there, chapter 5, and then verse 15 right down at the bottom. Or you go to those the live events and the verses are already there. You don't even have to look them up if you're new to the Bible and exploring the Christian faith. Beginning in verse 15, though, this is what we're going to read and think about today. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or every form of sinfulness and brokenness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Can we get an amen over here, Jan? Woo! Yeah, woo! Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Again, the main idea is this morning. Be willing. You have a choice to make to be willing to reimage your life or to allow your life to be reimaged so you can make the most of the opportunities before you. My friends, if you are not humble enough and willing to surrender yourself to this process, it won't happen. You will miss the opportunities that God has designed for you to take advantage of in your life. He has a storehouse full of blessing and opportunities to live the life he designed. It's ready and it's waiting for you. Every single person sitting here today and watching online, God has a divine purpose for you. There is no one who is insignificant, not one person. You have a divine purpose that God wants to use you for in your life, but you must be willing to allow him to reimage you into the design he created you for. Let me give you a little bit of context of this letter, just as we chew on this passage and think about it together this morning. Come think with me, and be thankful with me about this particular part of the scripture. First of all, this letter, Ephesians, was written to a young church. Not unlike our church, a fairly young church. They were even younger, though, just a few years old. It was written by Paul, whose life was radically changed by an encounter with Jesus. And for a brief time at the end of his second missionary journey, then for two more years at the end of his third missionary journey, where he was sharing with people about Jesus and how that had changed his life, he was their pastor and their leader there at Ephesus. So he had relationship with them, and he's writing them this letter. During this time in that city, Ephesus, there was a famous temple made to a Greek goddess named Artemis. And Paul saw many people start their journey of faith following Jesus. But there were many others who absolutely opposed him in that. In fact, there was one prominent silversmith, Demetrius, who had made the elements of worship for the goddess Artemis. And he was pretty ticked off, as you can imagine, because all of his business was being robbed by Paul because he was helping people see the way God designed them to live. And it wasn't worshiping a false god. And so his business suffered because of it, and there was a near riot that ensued that forced Paul to leave the city. But he had been able to stabilize the work there. But there was a motivation for him to write this letter back to this church because he had to leave them, and he wanted to encourage them, so that's why he wrote it. And it was sometime around 60 to 61 AD, which would have been roughly almost 30 years after Jesus had died. So that's the time frame that we're looking at, this church that's living in. And he sent a number of letters by hand through Tychicus, who was accompanied by a man by the name of Onesimus. And do you know where he actually ended up writing these letters, where he was when he wrote these letters? He was actually in prison for sharing his faith. So while he was there, he wrote several letters to the churches that he had impacted, Ephesus being one of them. And we get these epistles or letters that they call them the prison epistles. And Ephesians is important because while the 2 Corinthian letter and the Galatians letter abound with personal information and things that were addressed theologically, Ephesus, when he wrote to Ephesus, it was a general letter for all people, for all believers in Jesus Christ. And it deals with topics at the very core of what it means to be a Christian, both in faith and in practice. So Paul divided this letter to the Ephesians into two clear ideas and concepts. The first part of those ideas were the theology behind a relationship with Jesus, a deeper understanding in the mind of what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and how God's work is powerful and his love is immense for people, and how we are precious in his sight. And he wanted to protect this church against future problems by encouraging them to mature in their faith. So I share all this with you as you think about this letter, what the context is, so you can put into mind what it is that Paul might be saying. He was not responding to any sort of theological or moral problem. He wanted, again, to protect them against falling away and to encourage them to grow in their faith. So the practical application elements are the last half of the book, and that's where we land today in Ephesians 5. The practical nature of what, after we've learned and understood, we've applied our mind and understand that God saved us by grace through faith, by his favor, by what he's done, by his goodness, not by my works. We understand all that. Now what do? Jesus has saved us. Now how do we live? And that's where we are this morning. And this is what I hope you'll take away with you as you think about entering this new year and being willing to reimage your life. Number one, in your notes, we find from verse 15 an encouragement to be circumspect. Would you just say that word out loud with me? Circumspect. Be circumspect in how you live. Now, that's an old English word. You'll find it in an older translation, the King James translation of the Bible. But I think it's a great word because of its nuanced meaning as you unpack the word a little bit. It's from the Latin word originally, circumspect, which is what is used there in the New King James. And it's essentially the idea to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences to your actions and to your life. The first part of the word circum means to look around. Everybody look around. Look around. Would you look around with me? The second part of the word is spesir, which means to spy, to look around and spy. So there's more than just looking around. There's spying into. There's a focused and a fixed level of looking into something. The Greek word there is blepo, which metaphorically speaking means to see with the mind's eye, to have the power of understanding, to discern rather mentally, observe, perceive, discover, understand, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, to consider, contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully, and to examine. And I imagine that that's what Michelangelo did as he looked into that broken statue that had been marred. He was able to circumspect, to focus his attention, to see the vision of what could be. And that's what I believe Paul is asking us in this letter to do, and what I'm asking us to do today, to be thoughtful about how we're going to live in 2021. This isn't a haphazard, go-with-the-flow kind of image we're given here. If we're going to re-image to be what God intended for us to be, we have to be purposeful and intentional. We can't let life just happen around us. We have to decide we're going to live in a certain way, or life will live itself for us. Psalm 39, verse 4 says this, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." My friends, that is eternal perspective. The writer there is crying out for eternal perspective. My friends, listen carefully. You are not living if you have not come to grips with the reality that your days are numbered. Your end is coming. You are not living if you haven't wrestled with that reality. You're wandering and meandering through life aimlessly, unfocused, and unattentive. And the writer there is crying out for this perspective, an eternal perspective, recognizing our time is limited. And if you think of the average lifespan, 70 to 80 years, you can't accomplish a lot in that time span. There's a lot you can do. But to do so requires that you take the time to think about the things you want to do, the things that are most important. And you ask, how do I spend the time I've been given? For teenagers in love, talking in the car for a couple of hours goes by like that, right? It's just talking, I love you love me, I respect you, it's just, and all of a sudden, boom, 2 hours are gone, right? What's it like for the parents in the house waiting for the kids to return, right? That same 2 hours, it's like an eternity. What's going on? What are they doing? Oh my goodness, what's happening? This is my daughter, no, right? For us, that's an eternity. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of perspective. A number of years ago, a company developed a unique clock you could buy for under $100. What was unique about this clock was that you could program in your gender and age according to the average lifespan for men, 75 years, and women, 80 years. It would keep track of the amount of time you had left to live. You can also do this online now as well, and I did that this last week, and I found out that according to my age and gender, my approximated year of expiration is how it was put, is 2045. Started thinking, man, that's rolling. But I thought about how good that is. Now, some of you might think I'm weird, but I think it's good to think about often how limited life is. It keeps me away from a lot of things that just don't matter. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." Notice what it does not say there. It does not say, look at your neighbor's faith and tell them whether or not they're in the faith, right? We are way too quick to judge others. Paul's really clear here. Let's start with this. Let's start with examining ourselves first. Let's stay there until we get it perfectly right. That's my encouragement to you. Once you get it perfectly right, then you can look over at your neighbor. But Paul's encouragement here is important. It tells us to examine ourselves. Look within your heart. Is Jesus in you? If Jesus is in you, you are living the life you've been created to live. If he is not, my friends, you are missing something beautiful and amazing. The Bible tells us our time on earth is limited. The only thing we can do and we can count on is right now. So what do we need to do? Wake up! Now, if you're sleeping, now you're awake, right? It's my next point. Wake up! Turn to your neighbor right now and say, wake up! They might need an elbow if they are sleeping. Ephesians 5:16 says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Paul wrote another letter to a church in Rome from which I borrowed his term here that's translated in the New Living Translation. This is all the more urgent, Romans 13, for you to know how late it is. Time is running out, so wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on shining armor of right, the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties or drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Now, my friends, it would be easy to get this harsh message here. But if you're getting a harsh message, you're missing the heart of the passage. The message is here. You have been created to live in the image of God. You have been given the image of God in creation. And when you live for the desires of the flesh, you're missing the beauty of the life you were created to live. Don't hear the message about ritual or religion or the rules of do's and don'ts, because you will have missed the heart. When God gives an instruction or a warning, he does so because he knows to live in the brokenness would mean to miss the best that he has for you. That is why he has encouraged us to live here. And my friends, all you have to do is study the science, the sociology, the science. I just said that, huh? I said science. Oh, we're all excited about science these days, aren't we? Science can say a lot of things, but if you study actual science, if you study actual science, am I giving away something here? Okay, just say, if you study psychology, science, any of the elements that impart knowledge and wisdom of understanding how to live, you will find out the reason God says don't do some of these things, to wake up and live the way you're created to live, is because he has so much more for you. When you're living over here in brokenness, you're missing it, and it grieves his heart. There are many things that rob us of our time. How many of you are sitting here today thinking, where did 2020 go? I mean, it's just, it's gone. We're in 2021 right here this week. I'm going to be happy to see it begin, but there are a couple things the Bible tells us that can rob us of our time on earth. First of all, sin. Living outside God's design, living outside God's blessing, robs us of our time on earth. There's a quote I love to think about when I talk about this. I don't know who wrote this. Maybe some of you do. You can share it with me after the service or shout it out. But I love this quote because it speaks truth. Sin, that's living outside God's design, living in brokenness, takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you way more than you would ever want to pay. Does anybody know who said that? Shout it out. Who? Warren Wiersbe, is that who said it? Good man. He has a great commentary. That's probably where I got it from. He's one that said it, and I believe it. It's true. The other thing that robs us of our time, Charles Spurgeon may have also said that. Maybe they borrowed from each other. Who knows? Somebody Google it? Is that what you, somebody Google it? I should have Googled it. The other thing that keeps us from experience all God has for us is things, listen to this, listen carefully. Not only sin, but things that we think are good can rob us of our time here on earth. Things that we think are good, which are even more insidious than sin, because we don't know that they're robbing us of our time. There's a great illustration of this in the Bible where Jesus is sitting down with Mary and Martha in their home, and Mary comes to sit with Jesus to talk to him, to be with him. But Martha's busy and getting frustrated because she's getting everything ready. She has to have everything ready, and it's got to be perfect. And she comes in to chastise Mary for not helping her. And Jesus says, Martha, you've missed what is better. Mary has chosen what is better, to be with me, to be in relationship. So sometimes we can be caught up thinking that something is good when it's actually robbing us of our time, and we need the Spirit of God to help us discern those moments. It's not always bad to make sure everything's ready for somebody to be at your house or to be feeling welcome. That's not always a bad thing, but in this case, it was. Ecclesiastes 9:10 tells us this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. My friends, wake up. Your time on earth is fleeting. You have a chance in 2021 to live the design God created you to live. The third thing I want to encourage you to take away with you is to grasp firmly to God's design for life. Ephesians 5:17 says this: therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Notice there's intentionality in that process. The responsibility to understand what God's will is for your life is yours. Would you say to yourself right now, it's my responsibility to understand what the Lord's will is? Go ahead and say that to yourself right now. It's my responsibility to understand what the Lord's will is. It's not your parents. It's not your spouse's responsibility. It's yours. You are charged to grasp firmly to God's design for life. The encouragement here is to use your mind to grow in the knowledge of who God is and what He desires for you. And remember, it's not about you. This life is not about you. There's a bigger picture and a bigger story that's unfolding. And God has given you a mind, and He expects you to use it. Romans 12:2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, encouraging growth. It says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sounds a little bit like re-imaging, doesn't it? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. My friends, understanding what God's will is starts with spending time with Him. You're not going to know by osmosis through somebody else's relationship with God. You're not going to know by simply coming to church on a Sunday morning, although hopefully that points you toward that. You have to establish priorities in your life. And since you're here today, I would think that at least you're considering the possibility that God should be in your life. So way to go. That's a great starting point. I would affirm that. I would ask you to make a priority to search that out. This year, make it a point to be connected in a church family. Not just to come on a Sunday morning, but be connected in a church family. Make worship a priority. Make time each day to read this Bible, which is God's love letter to you. He reveals Himself and all that you need in this life right in here. Make it a priority every day to read it, to pray, to think about what God is saying to you. And let me encourage you this. This might be strange right now because we've been spending a lot of time with family. Cooped up, right, to some degree. But spend more time with your family. Not just your biological family, but the families God's creating for you to live in. I've never heard someone say on their deathbed that they'd wish they'd spent more time at work. Most often they're grieving time that they didn't get with a loved one. Things that they wish they would have said to someone they cared about. Make the time to do those things. Also encourage you to live day by day. You don't have to figure out the future. God has that taken care of. Live one day at a time. Somebody said once, life is what happens while you're making plans to do something else. That's true, my friends. Don't miss the moments, the beautiful moments that are passing you by while you're waiting for something else. Job 28:28, the last verse we'll read together in the passage or in this the message this morning. This is what he says, that is, Job, after he went through terrible circumstance in life, he says this to all humanity: the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. My friends, it's time to re-image. In this new year, take time to look around, to be circumspect. Choose wisely how you're living. Wake up and make the most of every opportunity. And grasp firmly God's design for your life. The main idea is this again: be willing to re-image your life so you can make the most of the opportunities before you. My friends, 2021 is here. You have a few days to think about how you want to live in the new year. Start by doing these three things: look around, wake up, and grasp firmly to God's design. And let me ask you two questions as we close this morning. Where do you want to be in your spiritual life next year at this time? Think about that for just a moment. Where do you want to be? Maybe you're just on the front end exploring your Christian faith. Well, it's going to be intentionality that's going to get you any step further. Maybe that's connecting with a community group here at the church. Maybe that's talking to someone, say, hey, I'm really getting serious about thinking about my spiritual life. I want to go to church. Would you go with me? I want to hear what God's word has to say. Where do you want to be this time next year? And then, more importantly, what are you willing to do to get there? I want to encourage you just for the next few weeks at least to consider how you make a fresh start with Jesus and in your spiritual life in 2021 as we think about those questions over the next couple weeks. I'm going to give you some of the answers that the Bible has, things that I've learned, some things that other people have learned that I want to share with you. So hang out with us for the next few weeks and consider what you're willing to do to get to where you want to be next year. As we close, I want to just say that there may be somebody here today or listening online and you have never heard the gospel message, and I just want to share that with you real briefly. Romans in the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us is right before God. We're all in the same boat, sinking. The wages of that sin is death, Romans goes on to tell us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So my friends, that is the bad news. We are sinful, and the cost of that sin is spiritual, physical death. Separation from God for all of eternity. And if we choose that for all of our life, God will grant that to us in eternity. And I wish that for no one. But Romans goes on to tell us, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Very simply put, a declaration of the heart is what God asks for us if we're outside a relationship with Jesus. So I want to invite you to do that right now. If you're here this morning, Or if you're watching online, would you pray with me? And you pray these words again. I offer them to you as a pastor and a shepherd. Again, it's what's going on in your heart that I believe is what's most important. So please pray with me now, if that's you. Pray this: Jesus, I know I'm sinful, and I realize my good works will never measure up against my wrongs. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins, and I want to turn away from them right now. I trust you now to be my Lord and Savior. And with your help, I will follow you as my leader in the fellowship and friendship of your church family. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if in this moment you've given your life to Jesus, maybe that's the first time you've ever done that, would you just put your hand up and let me know? I'd love to pray for you. Is there anybody here today with us in person? You gave your life to Jesus? Just put your hand up and let me know. Thank you. Anybody else? For those of you that are still considering, I just want to encourage you, stay with us, hang with us, ask your questions. We're glad that you're here exploring the Christian faith. Maybe you're watching online. If you gave your life to Christ and prayed, let us know in the comments section or reach out to us on the connectpursuitchurch.com/connect. Fill that out. Let us know. We'd love to pray with you. Today, if you did that, we have a gift for you as you leave. John Howarth is going to be in the back, and there's some just a little short book that we'd like to give to you just to say, encourage you on your spiritual journey today. So stop by out at that table. Love to give that to you and even pray for you if you'd like that. But let me pray for the rest of us as believers in Jesus. God, as we go into 2021, we want to live lives that matter. By your grace, would you help us to look around, to wake up, and to grasp firmly to your design. And we do that only because of your grace and by your Holy Spirit and the strength you give us in that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.